Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Ka, and welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 44. If you've been joining us through all this, we're going to be starting to list the episode number so you can go back and find where you are in our whole catalog of broadcasts. And of course, today you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond. And I'm going to add this one today, how we must prepare for the things which are soon to take place. I'm Pastor Andre, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And friends, we welcome you this morning. We have a great study at hand this morning. And of course, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to our podcast or a previously recorded episode, make sure to have a Bible with you so that you can take notes that you can mark in your Bible to outline the things which we're discussing. So of course, we want you to be prepared and fully equipped as we go through the study. And before we get started today, Rabbi, if you would open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our Torah study blessing.
Amen. I'd be honored. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for fulfilling your will, your promises, and thank you that your word never comes back to you void. So whether we engage, whether we connect, whether we do our part, Father, your word will find someone within our lineage and fulfill its promise to us. So, Father, we do our part now so that we're not left behind, so that we're not blessed in the manner in which you desire to bless us. Father, we don't just desire for you to bless our lineage. We desire for you to bless us, for you to reconcile and redeem us, to cause us to be who you've called to be through your word. We ask forgiveness, Father, right now. We cleanse and wash ourselves by asking that forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. We choose to forgive others. We choose to allow you and the blood of Yeshua to wash our lineage to the third and fourth generation, to our forefathers on both sides of our family, so that we can receive from you. We can receive that thousand generation blessing, and so that it will not come back in our lifetime, void, that we have participated and will continue to participate in the manner in which you deemed it right and holy and pure for us to do. We value your relationship. We value the quality time that you desire with us. We value you. And we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for just awesome opportunities to do things with you, to co-create with you. But we never want to be without acknowledging how wonderful you are, not just in our lives or in this world or as a creator, but just you as an individual. We recognize, like the Apostle John recognized Yeshua, the individual. And Yeshua loved him for that. We desire your love because we recognize you. And all of those other aspects, yes, but we recognize you. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Amen. And now we'll have Pastor Doug's before Torah study blessing, and then we'll get on with our recap for this week.
Ruach Ata Yehua Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu BeMitzvotav Yitzchanu LaAsot BeDevrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Thank you. So now, Rabbi, what we were discussing last week, this is actually a really important discussion, really looking at the perilous times timeline. And are we prepared for coming events? And one of the first questions we opened up with was, are we personally conducting ourselves as righteous before God? And we went to one of the very familiar scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and we quoted it, with the respect of examining yourself to see if you're in the faith. This is going to be a very important, if you will, maintenance or hygiene, spiritual hygiene, if you will, to just continually examine ourselves in light of Yah. We can never examine ourselves without the Word of God. We have to do so inside of His righteousness. Now, if we do so without the Word of God or outside of His righteousness, we're doing it in our own righteousness, which is not the mark, it's not the litmus test for whether we are in the faith. So we must examine ourselves according to the Word of God, and we must do it according to His righteousness and with His love. If we do not have the love of God, then we've missed the first button, we've missed the first step. So that's one of the things that we started off with as far as, are we prepared? Are we in the faith? Test yourself, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith according to the Word of God. Now, we need to prepare ourselves accordingly so that we do not become a casualty, both spiritually or naturally. Because one of the biggest reasons for the judgment of God, the coming judgment of God, is to make sure that the bride is ready. The judgment is primarily to get the bride ready. Now, we have to remember, we discussed that there's a difference between His judgment and His wrath. And that main difference is that in judgment, there is still mercy available. The mercy of God is available and applicable. Now, it's not for the friend, when we're talking about the judgment, it's not the friend, servant, or heathen that needs this this wake-up, if you will. Now, yes, the heathen, it's an opportunity for him to become a servant, and the servant wants to become a friend, but ultimately the goal is to become a bride, and the judgment is primarily for the bride. Yeshua is coming back for His bride. Now, again, the Father wants the heathen to examine themselves too with respect to the wrath which is stored up. That the wrath is for the heathen, and it was created for the heathen, but it was not created for the bride. And we have scriptures I'll get to in a few points here that pinpoint that. Our actions towards others will prove where we are. When we judge, and it's not for us to judge, that's Yah's position. Now, I apologize, my note here was not as clear. But really the point here was that we need to make sure that we're not pointing the finger and judging others, because that is Yah's position to judge. Too often we lose God's perspective and then apply our own perspective. And so going back to the whole making sure that we're in the faith and making sure that we are examining ourselves, we need to make sure that there's no judgment when we ourselves have something that we need to deal with ourselves. In other words, going back to the words of Yeshua, with the beam in our own eye versus the speck in another's. But we have to make sure that we apply God's perspective and not our own to every situation. Now, pivoting a little bit more into the discussion of the perilous times, we opened up again describing how we must begin to examine ourselves. But now we're looking at what are the key pillars or key points in the perilous times timeline, if you allow me to use that expression. We looked at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, which was describing key events at the latter end, the end times. Of course, it talks about Michael standing up for his people. It talks about the different things, how knowledge will increase and understanding will increase. All of these things are evidences of the end times. Now, what's important is for us to know more specifically where within the 7 years we are. And we believe that the tribulation period lasts 7 years, but we're split in half. And we reference Daniel chapter 9 as talking about that halfway point with the Messiah being cut off, okay? And the ending of the sacrifices. Now, we did describe, and there's a much more lengthy teaching on how we have come to that position. But what we're really wanting to focus on is how do we know when the latter 3.5 years starts? Because that is the timeline that has everything pertaining to the perilous times in it. Now, it's important to understand we believe in a pre-trib rapture. Excuse me, we do not believe in a pre-trib rapture. We teach a pre-wrath rapture. Just to be very clear, we do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, which indicates that nothing difficult will happen and we get whisked away before there is the trying or the preparation of the bride. As we mentioned earlier, we do believe that the bride will be prepared through the judgment. But we believe in a pre-wrath rapture. Now, here are the two scriptures that we reference that pertain to how the bride is not destined for wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, both of which describe that the wrath was not, or the bride was not destined for wrath, but we are destined for the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it never says that we are not appointed for judgment. Just to go back to that, the judgments, the difficult times, the trying, the tribulation, those things which test our faith, those things we unfortunately too often require to wake us up. If you recall how people responded after 9/11, that major event woke people up, and there was a revival for a while. But we're not wanting a short-lasting revival. We're wanting the revival that continues to perpetuate in our hearts to make sure that we are ready each and every day, in and out of season, for the coming of our Lord. Now, how should we prepare ourselves to shine? How do we, as the bride, make ourselves ready? Those are things that we're going to continue to be discussing. But one of the things that we have to be very clear about is there will be a time of trouble for God's people. Those that are trying to walk in covenant with the living God. We read in Revelations chapter 12 and chapter 14 as well, how the enemy is going specifically after those who believe, hold their faith in Yeshua, and hold fast to the covenant of God, his God's commandments. We're going to see that happen more and more. When and how is the rapture? That's one question that many people wanted to ask. And that the rapture is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. And we have proof that it will be on a feast day, which is why it's so important to understand the covenant of God and to understand his commandments. Because we see Yeshua fulfilling the feast. He did so with every single one of his major events, ending his life, giving his life, sacrificing himself on Passover. And so we see that really we're looking at the latter, the fall feast, but picking up again with Passover. So we're keeping our eyes open every year as we get to the major feasts. Now, if we are walking as we ought to, we should, with our eyes, begin to recognize the things that are about to befall the earth and make course corrections. Rabbi, you mentioned that we shouldn't be afraid in changing our course or adjusting our way, because these spiritual adjustments are what the Holy Spirit is counting on us so that we can adjust our nature and attitude towards the things of Yah. Now, lastly, I'll leave us with this because there's so much more to discuss, but we had two primary scriptures from Revelations again. One of the key signs, key markers that we're looking for are found in the sixth seal. The sixth seal has both celestial and, I'll just say, world events, descriptions of asteroids and stars falling, and severe earthquakes. Now, these are key markers that we're looking for connected with the Great Tribulation, which is also connected, if you go back to Daniel 9 and go to Matthew 24, the abomination of desolation. All of these things, the earthquakes, the asteroids, the abomination of desolation, these things are connected with the trigger for the Great Tribulation. It's a huge indicator that we're entering or have entered into that period of time. Now, we've said all of these things. We want to leave you with a promise, a blessing of hope. Revelation chapter 3:10, we described, is a promise for protection of the bride. And it's talking to the Philadelphia church. One of the things, Rabbi, that you brought out that was so eloquently spoken and very clear last week, we're looking at the hour that tries the whole world. Now, this hour is something that's affecting the whole world, and we brought out how some people might ask the question, well, what about COVID? It's affected the whole world. Yes, but COVID is a precursor of what we'll call the Antichrist's tribulation, or his wrath. The spirit of Antichrist is establishing its works prior to God's judgment. Because the spirit of Antichrist still wants to be as God and to take over. So he's going to mimic and act like God. But his primary target, this is the spirit of Antichrist, is the people of God. Okay. So we're going to end with this. We know that there's a time coming for the whole world to go under much travail. But the bride is not destined for that. It's not destined for the wrath of God. And there is a protection where God will hide and protect his people, his bride, from the hour that tries the whole world. And Rabbi, I'll pass it back to you for more clarity and also as we engage in this week's study. Rabbi?
Amen and amen. And just to step in and begin to chart the course that you've already laid out, which I do thank you for that. It's imperative that we understand that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, and we're just kind of re-stepping back through a few scriptures before we go forward. The battle is not between Satan and the church. The battle is between Satan and the bride. So even the church itself, which is obviously under attack, is not the adversary's concern. The concern right now with the demonic realm is the bride, because of the anointing that's on the bride. And that anointing is spelled out very clearly in why that anointing is there in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. So I'm going to have Pastor Andre read that, and then we're going to move forward with that in mind. Go ahead, Pastor Andre, both in the King James and in the Amplified.
Okay, so again, I'm going to get this synced up real quick. Revelation chapter 12, and specifically verse 17. Here we go. That helps if you spell Revelation right. There we go. And the dragon, this is King James, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then Amplified, it says this. So then the dragon was furious and raged at the woman and went away to wage war on the remainder of her descendants, on those who obey God's commandments and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and adhere to it and bear witness to him.
Who adhere to it and bear witness to him. So as we do this, as we begin to fulfill both the commandments of God of Torah, as well as our relationship with Yeshua, our spiritual husband, what are some of the benefits that we are expecting to have manifest? Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. Now, in Zechariah, there is a large amount of rich nuggets that reference back to Revelations. The four horsemen and the millennial period, the end times of the latter 7-year tribulation, the 3.5 years. It has and does have great mention of a large amount of things that are going to happen, you know, chapter 13 and chapter 14. But in chapter 2, there is a very, very powerful passage there that I have to give credit to the Lord through our secretary, because oftentimes, you know, when my wife and I would greet her and everything, she would continually use this particular scripture. And it dawned on me through our study that I need to go check that particular scripture out. I mean, the Spirit of God prompted me. So I finally did. And when I did, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is an end-time promise that we, as the bride of Yahushua, should be acknowledging, because it is the word spoken over us. So we're going to start off with the first verse, but when we get to verse 5, we'll stop there. But I want you to understand, because Zechariah was given a lot of insight. Now, it was scattered. When I say scattered, I'm saying it wasn't chronologically given to him this. You know, there was this is first and second and third and fourth and fifth, and this is the way it's going to happen. No. Primarily, that type of revelation was primarily given to the Apostle John. Now, Apostle John's revelation in the book Revelation was a collective effort of the major and minor prophets. And the prophetic of our end time day that was given to them, and Zechariah being one of those. Zechariah chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 1 and go to verse 5 in King James and also in the Amplified.
All right, amen. Starting with verse 1 in King James Version of chapter 2, I lifted up my eyes again, and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now for the Amplified. And I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Where are you going? And he said to me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its breadth and what is its length. And behold, the angel who talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said to the second angel, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited and dwell as villages without walls, because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her.
So this is referring to and talking about the millennial period. But this is a promise that we have the right to live in now. What do I mean by that? I mean the wall of fire that in the midst of are you and I as we commune with Yah is available to us now. Elisha, okay, submitted himself to Elijah, and Elijah constantly was given permission by God to destroy his enemies by fire. But this fire was Yah himself in the midst of and consuming fire that was consuming Elijah, consuming him from a standpoint of him being destroyed, but consuming him from a standpoint of protection over him. We have to be aware of this self-same consuming fire that God has promised to us. We have to be aware that He will not allow the adversary to touch his precious ones as long as we are submitted to fulfilling and following his mandate in the right relationship that he deems right. Now, I can't do something that I deem right and say, okay, God, go burn them up or God, go deal with them. But as I yield to him, God himself will protect me. God himself covering over me. God himself will hide me in Psalms 91, as it says, in that secret place of the Most High. That particular secret place of the Most High is what we need to continually be found in. Let's go to Psalms 91. I mean, we've read it before. When I say we, I'm not on this broadcast, but we as individuals in our own micro, we've read it before. But we need to be constantly aware as the times are shifting more to wickedness and less to God's righteousness. We need to be constantly aware what the Father will do for us and what he will do to our enemies. Because before they were our enemies, they were his enemies. Psalms 91, and we'll start with verse 1 and just kind of read through it until we get a real good clarity of what we will see with our eyes upon God's enemy.
All right. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen and amen. And we're going to also listen to it in the Amplified. But before we do, we're at the part there, Pastor Andre, where it says, because he has known my name. That is not a mental knowledge-based understanding of what the name means. That is a backside of the mountain experiencing God stepping in for me during the times that I need him the most, so that I am aware when I'm out in public exactly what my Father will do for me in whatever situation I find myself in. That's the knowing. When it says, because he has known me, that means he's proven me. That means that he has been in situations where desperately needed an answer from God, and God comes in like a flood and rescues you. That's a knowing, okay? That's when you know him, okay? And we have to corporately understand the power of knowing him together. When you talked about, when it talked about the arrows by day and not being afraid of the arrows, I think about the movies, you know, pertaining to Rome and their warriors and the Roman army and how disciplined they were. And even though they were very awesome fighters in the sense of the way that they handled themselves, they're very skilled in the way that they handled their shield and everything. But when they were corporately together and arrows were being shot at the group, they would wait until seconds before the arrows were to hit the actual company. And then they had a strategy or a technique to bring their shields together and hold their shields up. And the arrows would bounce right off the shields because the shields were designed in such a way to where they interlocked with one another. And by them interlocking, there was no place for the arrows to pierce through or to go past the shield in order to harm them. Now, the lesser amount of people that they have, okay, the more susceptible they are to getting injured by the arrows. But the more that they had, it would interlock in such a way to where it'd be like a half circle or a bubble, and it would just bounce right off. Well, when the Father says that he's going to send his angels to have charge over you, to have charge over me, then his angels have in the spirit realm these types of abilities to where the arrows that were meant for us, they bounce not off of us, but they bounce off the assigned army, the spiritual army that God has placed for us. Be amplified, sir.
Okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. This is verse 9 coming. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels a special charge over you, to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Rabbi.
It talks about, in multiple areas in that passage, it talks about the pestilence. This types of understanding that we should take this going forward. It's not just this COVID-19 or even the situations that we're finding, even with the vaccine itself, but with any diabolical plot that the adversary for harm for you, for me. It says, as long as I have set my love upon Yah, me setting my love upon Yah, me submitting myself to him on a regular basis, that establishes a relationship. Our Heavenly Father is about relationships. More specifically, he's about a one-on-one relationship with you and I. And as I and as we individually, quality time, get to know him, get to know his ways, then he begins to establish this protection, this covering, this sustainability throughout all of the perilous times that we are about to face. I know that with my wife, when we were, I guess you would call it courting, we didn't date. We both were looking for a spouse, person of God that we can live the rest of our life with, fulfilling the purpose that God has for us individually and collectively. But as we began to get to know one another, it was so that we could establish whether or not this was who the Father has called us to be with. And we began to submit to him, and he began to guide us. He began to teach us. He began to help instruct us. As our relationship built, we began to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. And we began to help each other in fortifying those strengths and weaknesses. As we began to do that, the relationship grew, began to get even stronger, so that when there were external outside influences that would try to disrupt the relationship, try to disrupt our flow, if you will, they were unable to do so. because when accusations were made about me and my faithfulness or her and her faithfulness, we already had established such a relationship with one another, such a trust with one another, such a covenant with one another, that because we knew that each one of us were 100% committed to each other. This is the same 100% commitment is what the Father is looking for when he says, because they have given and experienced and shared their love for me. Now understand, the Heavenly Father has a criteria for this love. Criteria is covenant loyalty. Not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. We cannot say, nor can we convince Yah that we love him if we are not faithful to his commands. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 is very, very clear. And that love must be exercised regularly. We must desire to spend time and quality time with him. It's so imperative that we understand that. Yes, we need to have quality time for ourselves as well. It's a given. But within that quality time for yourself to get self ready, to do that self-evaluation that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 13:5, to see if you're in the faith, in the relationship. Are you engaged in that relationship is what that is talking about. When the Father is saying, hey, I want an intimate relationship. I want what you truly do need, and I know that you need what I truly do have to give. Don't be looking for what I have in places that don't have what you need and definitely cannot satisfy. It's imperative that we really get a real good understanding of that. And understand that no matter what it seems to be, what it looks like, if I put my confidence and my trust in building a relationship with Yah, whatever seems horrific, Yah quickly changes that. It'll do one of two things, and possibly even both, depending upon his desire. It will change the situation, or he'll change your perspective of the situation. He'll either change the situation that you find yourself in, or he'll change your perspective. There are times when he does both. He changes the situation, but and also he changes your perspective. I'm reminded of Moses in Exodus 15. When he purposely put the children of Israel at the Red Sea, put them right in the harm's way of their enemies, the Egyptians that were following them. His goal was to do two things. His goal was to deliver them from their enemies and to supernaturally change their perspective of his abilities. They had a very limited, very minute ability to trust and believe that God could do all things, could do anything. And he wanted to deal with that with them. Became a perfect deliverance, a perfect opportunity for the children of Israel to truly believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob desired to have a relationship with them beyond anything they've ever imagined or could conceive. So when the time came, although Moses spoke the words of God, the words of Yah, Moses himself still had doubts And the Father had to coax him and had to tell him, lift up your staff. I've given you the authority. I've given you the power in your staff. But now you have to do something. I have to do something. We have to lift up our staff. Too often we get in a woe is me type of concept. And we begin to lose something that is too precious to ever lose, and that is hope. Without hope, you can't believe. Without hope, you can't exhibit the faith that we all are given. The Father never wants us to lose hope in the Father's ability. We're not talking about hope in our own ability and our own strength. We're talking about hope in the Father's ability and His word that it will do for you what He said it will do. But remember, even with the word of God, it has stipulations. It has requirements for me, for us. And if we don't fulfill those requirements, the word becomes null and void for us. Now, it's not going to come back to Him without fulfilling the promise. Just may, like was stated earlier in the broadcast, it may be hindered from delivering us, but our loved ones, but the rest of the remnant, it will always deliver the remnant. The question is, am I qualifying myself as a part of the remnant, or am I disqualifying myself as a part of the remnant? It's imperative that we, that I, understand that each day there's a qualification process. Each day, I have to show that I love Him. And each day I have to understand that showing that I love Him is not hard. At least that's what the Apostle John says. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. We go there often, but let's look at it under this particular microscope this time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3.
I'll read the King James and Amplified for this. King James says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." The Amplified reads this way, "For the true love of God is this, that we do His commandments, keep His ordinances, and are mindful of His precepts and teaching. And these orders of His are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous."
So we have got to understand that if it becomes, Pastor Andre, if it becomes grievous, if it becomes hard, if it becomes a chore, then we need to evaluate our perspective. If I'm trying to accomplish something in a certain amount of time and deadlines are placed upon me, either by myself, by the world, and it begins to conflict, begins to cause stress and anxiety because it conflicts the Father's ordinances. Let's say the lunar solar Sabbaths, or not being able to get everything done during preparation day, knowing that I'm not supposed to cook during the lunar solar Sabbath, but yet I didn't take the time, I didn't value the time to ensure that I have enough food prepared for that special day to spend time with Him. I have come to realize when I don't do that, and when I try to rely on getting my ox out of the ditch, so to speak, spiritually speaking, on God's holy day, that things don't go well for me. That even when I place myself into a situation where my plan or strategy is not the Father's plan or strategy, then the faster I try to accomplish this strategy, it seems like the further away from fulfilling it I become, and therefore the anxiety and the frustration and the stress begins to surmount. Where if I take it one day at a time and ask for his help, his guidance in doing so, then he begins to move the obstacles that would normally be impossible for me to achieve. He begins to silence the noise and pestilence of the enemy so that I can walk free from the stress. Now, that doesn't mean that others around me might not be stressed, and it doesn't mean that I just kind of, there's a term that just came to my spirit, and that is it doesn't give me the right to lollygag, to just procrastinate and to say, well, the Lord is going to, satisfy, and, therefore I don't have to put forth effort. No. You have to put forth effort. The effort has to be excellent. But then you put the trust that the Father will multiply, will magnify the effort. Because as he begins to do those things for you, then you begin to see, wow, I wasn't allowing him to be sovereign in my life. In this day, in this season, in this time, we have to find the sovereignty of God. And the only way we find that is through dialogue, through relationship building, through getting to know what is important to him. And then find ourselves focusing more so on that. I'm not saying not at all do anything. But I'm saying making sure that the important things to God are also the important things for you. Pastor Arnold, your thoughts on what we've talked about thus far, just to help get a fresh perspective on that.
Absolutely. There are several things that you were saying going through, just really building up, after we read Psalms 91, building the case for the importance of our relationship with them. And one of the things that jumped out to me from the Amplified was exactly what you said, as far as not just knowing his name, but having the experiential understanding of what that name means for your circumstance and for you. And that really got me. So he's saying, because they have experienced and know who I am or who I've revealed myself to them as, I will do X, Y, and Z. I will do this for them. Another thing that really stood out was the understanding when you brought up the children of Israel at the Red Sea. It was huge that God used that situation. He changed their circumstance, but I love how you said he changed their perspective. And a lot of what we're dealing with right now is the enemy's trying to, well, enemy is forcing his way into our circumstances, and he is trying to change our perspective, excuse me. And we're having to make sure that we go back and examine what is our perspective and where are we focused on. Because so easily we default into allowing ourselves to be programmed, as opposed to submitting and allowing ourselves to yield to Yah and what he desires to do in this time. And so that was an eye-opener for me, too, to say, whose perspective are you believing? Kind of like it says in the scripture, whose report will you believe? Am I believing and allowing myself to build fear, or am I allowing myself to build faith based upon what Yah says? As we read through Psalms 91, as you mentioned, there's so many places where it talked about the pestilence shall not come near you, or I will not let this thing, I will hide him, I protect him. And the truth is, do we trust him to believe that, or are we going to buy into the fear tactics of the world and the enemy? So that really stood out to me in light of just current events and what's happening in this world right now. But also, I'll end with this one. Another one that really just really, as we're talking about perilous times, preparing for it, the phrase that you said not long ago, am I qualifying myself as part of the remnant, or am I disqualifying myself as part of the remnant? That is a huge question, because every day it's like a Olympic the rounds or the qualification rounds. But we're every day we have an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm qualifying myself. And so that is a sentence that will stick with me today as we go through this. But I think the huge points, again, Psalms 91, what Yah will do for us, how he changes our perspective or if we yield to him. But we have to ask the question, are we qualifying ourselves on a daily basis? Rabbi.
Yeah, amen. And I totally agree. And it's the qualifying round, like in the Olympics.
That's it. Yep.
There's a qualifying round that you have to qualify for. And only, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first three in that qualifying heat actually go and represent, like, for example, represent the United States. So you've got a situation here, you know, Pastor Andre, where the Father is saying, you get the awesome opportunity each day to qualify as a remnant.
Mm.
So in qualifying as a remnant, then I get all of these perks. I get all these rewards. You know, I've thought about yesterday was a beautiful day. And me and an individual that I hired to help me do some remodeling on the house, both external and internal, we were able to get a lot of things accomplished yesterday. Well, we were forecasting for today, knowing that there's millions of people in the United States anyway that have outages and things of this nature. And most of the day it's supposed to be freezing. It's supposed to be, you know, 32 or below. And I've got it within my schedule. I've got certain things that are supposed to be delivered, and I need to have certain things finished when they are delivered. And I thought about it, and then I thought about the safety of my helper and sent him a text and told him, you know, we will not be working today because of the hazardous situation that's out there right now with the roads. And a part of me was like, oh, you're getting set back. That's a setback that's gonna deal with your deadline and this and that. And I had to hush those thoughts because I knew within my spirit that the righteous thing that God wanted done was what I did. So then from there, and this is just a tutorial lesson, if I may share this. From there, I have to hold my ground and know our Heavenly Father as Yahuwah Yireh. He's got to be my provider. He's got to make sure that we can make up that time or change the deadline or do something so that at the end of the time period that I have and at the deadline that I'm seeking for, that is God's deadline. I can't be so adamant and so rigid that I don't change or move the deadline as God deems it. And understand this. It's very possible that God could redeem the time in such a way to where the deadline gets moved closer as opposed to what the way we normally think, and that is that it's being delayed even more. The Father's in control. Yes, we have to forecast. Yes, we have to, go through that. But we go through it with the understanding that we are not in control of these events. The weather will help humble us to help us understand that He's sovereign and that His way is the way. I can only walk in a spirit of excellence each day. And as today is called today, I desire to walk in that spirit of excellence, knowing that I must put my trust in Him. Now, that's just a small example, but that example is one that if you take the time to re-examine for yourself, if you're in the faith, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, are you in the flow of God? Because if you're in the flow of God, everything will, must, it has to work out. And it has to work out for your good. It has to. If God sets a deadline, and I desire to walk in that deadline, and it looks like that deadline is not going to come to pass, it is not my responsibility to change that deadline. It is God's responsibility to either change it or supernaturally step in. But as long as I'm fulfilling all that He has called of me, then I can rest. Then I can have a Sabbath rest pertaining to that situation, pertaining to that circumstance, pertaining to that deadline. So I choose to rest in that. I choose to allow God to do what He desires to do with that, knowing that it will be, and I will be, victorious, because I submit all of my will and desire to Him. Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass it to you for the last remarks and sharing information on how to know a little bit more about us.
Amen. And thank you for that, sir. The analogy with the weather is actually really good. That was a situation where there was a circumstance change and you have to change your perspective. And folks, we're going to be dealing with that on a more regular basis. In fact, it happens every day, but we don't realize it. But I hope that you enjoyed today's discussion. Thank you for joining us on These Be Prayerless Times. So we're glad that you're taking time to investigate these things. And just the fact that you're interested in understanding these things lets me know that you're wanting to know what the Father has to say for you today, right now. And we hope that the things that we've discussed have blessed you and ministered to you on many different levels. We encourage you to take the things discussed today and go back to look at them as Bereans and to study them and apply the things which are true and that remain and that last. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of our congregation, Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions about what we've discussed today, or if you simply want to connect with us, receive our weekly newsletter, or if you want to just leave a word of encouragement, we invite you to do so. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. And you can find out more about us at our website, www.bethhashem.org. And that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find out more about us on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, as we mentioned, the importance of keeping the commandments of God and the testimony of Yeshua, we have a plethora of courses delving into those very things, the Hebraic roots of our faith and biblical Jewish studies, Messianic apologetics. We offer courses in those categories. And you can look at our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. And if you would like to make a donation to this ministry, you can contribute via Cash App, which is www.cash.app. And our call sign is $BETHHASHEM. So that's cashapp.com/$BethHashem. Or you can mail a donation to our office, 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And thank you all for those who have contributed and are continued praying for and being a blessing to this ministry. At this time, we're going to close with our after Torah study blessing, followed by the Aaronic benediction for today, and then a closing prayer by Rabbi. And so now I'll take you to Pastor Doug's after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, Bahaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yahuwah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for the Aaronic benediction, which comes from Numbers chapter 6. And it's a blessing for you and your family as you go through this next coming week. In Yeshua's name.
Yivarechacha Yahuwah Ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yahuwah panavelecha V'chunecha Yisai Yahuwah panavelecha Ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, we thank you for that peace is what we so desire and so need, because it hushes all of the noise and pestilence of the enemy. It causes all of the circumstances that try to overcome us in the tsunami of catastrophic problems to just become silent and still as still waters. We thank you, Father, for that peace. We thank you for fulfilling your will. We thank you for your Torah. We thank you for understanding more and more each day how sovereign you are in our circumstances. Care about. So we invite you this morning, we invite you today, not just to just be a co-pilot in the things that we deal with from day to day, but for you to actually lead and guide us. We give you the keys to the vehicle and allow you to orchestrate the way. We don't question your judgment, question your manner and way in which you deliver us and you get us to from point A to Z. We just know that we are in good hands with you, and we put our trust and confidence in you. And we know that when you tell us to go forth, we go forth. When you tell us to stop, we stop. Help us to be discerning of the times, discerning of the situations this morning, today, so that we fulfill all that you called. Help our attitudes so that we constantly walk in the proper attitude. We give you the glory and the praise right now in the name of Yahushua. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.